Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this day of the conversion of St. Paul comes to us from Acts chapter 9. Returning to verse 17, so Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. This is God's word. We can only speculate about how Saul of Tarsus felt in the days following his encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road. We tend to think of Saul's conversion in immediate terms. One moment, he's Saul the Christian hunter. The next, he's the super saint. And to be sure, coming face to face with the resurrected Jesus utterly changed him. But I have to think that mixed in with the shock and the amazement was an almost sickening realization that his entire view of the world had been wrong. It seems like a very quiet Saul that we see early in Acts chapter 9, silently processing what has happened to him. His way of looking at and functioning within his world had been wrong. His notions of what had been pleasing to God had been wrong. As if to underscore just how wrong he had been, God blinded him for 3 days. It was as if God were saying, "This is what you were, Saul. Blind to the truth." Adding insult to injury, Saul was depending on the help of a Christian, the type of person who up till then he had been actively trying to eliminate. So yes, Saul had a lot to think about as he sat in that house on Straight Street. He had to find out how wrong he had been before he could do anything right. It was a painful process. We're told he wasn't in the mood to eat or drink for 3 days. You may recall it wasn't long before Saul went public, candidly sharing what he had learned, pointing people to Jesus as the fulfillment of all God's promises. Now, by the way, Saul's conversion is great circumstantial evidence for the reality of Jesus' resurrection. And here's what I mean. Why else would someone like Saul change so completely? He had nothing to gain by following Jesus from a worldly perspective. He had far more to lose. Saul had been thoroughly convinced he was doing the right thing until the risen Jesus appeared to him. Something new was about to blossom in Saul because of his contact with the living Lord Jesus. A new person was about to emerge from the old. In other words, Saul was getting a second chance. And it's at this point that we meet Ananias, a Christian living in Damascus. He's contacted directly by the Lord and told to go minister to Saul of Tarsus, who is in a house on Straight Street. And understandably, Ananias protests this a little bit. But then the Lord reveals his thoughts regarding Saul's second chance. He says, "Go, for Saul as a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." As astounding as these words must have seemed to Ananias, they would be proven true. Saul would do all the things that God mentions here and more. And to his credit, Ananias goes and finds the man who had been one of the most intimidating enemies of the faith. Can you imagine Ananias' feelings as he drew close to the man who had relished binding Christians and throwing them in prison? But when Ananias gets close, he speaks only words of grace, saying, "Brother Saul." Think about that. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me to you so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately his vision is restored. Moreover, his entire way of seeing the world is remade as he is baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now his second chance had really begun. And Saul, we can safely say, made the most of it. Again, Saul had to see how wrong he had been before he could do anything right. He endured those dark days, and now, because of the mercy and the love of the very Jesus that he had been persecuting, he was a new person. He was baptized into the Christian faith, the faith that held Jesus to be the Son of the Father, to be the great and true Passover lamb, to be the Messiah from David's family tree. Saul then spent some time in the company of the Damascus Christians, and just imagine what those conversations were like. Saul had been given a second chance, and he wasted no time in doing his first Christian preaching there in the Damascus synagogue. Saul, we're told, confounded the Jews in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. The English Standard Version says confounded, which is great. Other translations say baffled, which is just as good. And Saul would continue confounding and baffling his world with the cross of Jesus Christ as his message. I say all of that about Saul so that I can say this to you. The life of Saul is proof that our God is the God of second chances. Our God aches and longs to reconcile with people and grant them a second chance. That said, how do you do at offering second chances to those who hurt you? Is our church a place where the term second chances would describe how we deal with one another? In his book, The Practice of Pastoral Theology, the Reverend Dr. James Bullhagen crafted an unforgettable sentence. He wrote, "The church is not a place where people are granted forgiveness only if they can first prove that they don't need it." I'll say it again. Follow along. The church is not a place where people are granted forgiveness only if they can first prove they don't really need it. We must fight our natural tendency to scorekeep, to always keep that running tally going in the back of our minds of those times that you upset me or you made me mad, and embrace mercy. Embrace a forgiving spirit. But you can only do that when you remember you have been given a second chance as well. If you have guilt about the way you've treated people, be honest about it with God. Think of the shame that Saul must have felt as he sat in darkness for 3 days thinking about how wrong he had been. You are invited to admit your shortcomings and your failures before the God of forgiveness, the God of second chances. If you are ready to own up to your sin, Jesus is ready to forgive it. The same Jesus who paid for your sin with his suffering and death is the same living Jesus who can send you on your way with new priorities and new vision. You have been given a tremendous gift. You have another chance to let the grace of Jesus open your eyes, dominate your thinking, and spur you on to action. Do not take this gift for granted. Let the living Lord Jesus make you a second chance person. Let's pray. Almighty God, grant us ever to rejoice in the saving light of your gospel and following the example of the Apostle Paul to spread it to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.